Before Mark gets that recording turned on, let's have a word of prayer. And we can find Proverbs chapter 4 in our Bible. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your truth and for your hope, your love that is so big that men over and over write about the greatness and the hugeness of your love over us. Some call it an ocean that we could just swim in and dive into and forever and never reach the other ends. Your love is so big over us in so many ways, and we are thankful to know you, the God of love, the God of mercy, the God of forgiveness, the God of grace, the God of healing. And we pray now for your healing touch over Dave Peel, over Wes. We pray for your healing touch, Lord, over Matt as he goes in surgery, and over Beulah. Lord, we see you as our healer and our loving healer and our Savior. So I pray now for you to meet with us. May we swim in the ocean of your love now and learn some things about there's children who will be the living, breathing church of Jesus Christ. In just a few short years, they will be what there is. So we ask you to lead us now, to bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So Proverbs chapter 4, I should have prayed for Jeanette. Proverbs chapter 4. Not funny when you're coughing like that. So I'm gonna get my preach on today. I can't promise you an early dismissal or anything like that. No, sorry, Dave. It's a long nap for you, but and we've got to look at this, and we've got to think about this. These are our kids. This is the next generation church. This is the future. We can't just say, well, God's going to do what he's going to do, because he's given us a lot of responsibilities. He's given us plenty to do for him to help prepare the next generation to think about it. And so we have got to take this seriously. Our children, our grandchildren, and the Bible, the scriptures have a lot to say about it. If you're unfamiliar with the book of Proverbs, I want you to know there is a ton of practical, beautiful information teaching about kids of all ages in Proverbs. If you want some parenting tips, read Proverbs. There's an amazing amount of treasure for raising from little kids to big kids. So our room right now, we have a number of young kids, bigger kids, a lot of them down there. We got Skyler here. He probably doesn't consider himself a kid anymore. We do, I do, but in Proverbs probably does. But there, even for adult, grown kids, there is a ton of information in Proverbs about kids, how to help prepare them for the next generation church. And that's where we're going to be today, is in Proverbs chapter 4. Now, if you don't have a Bible, Mark has some of this on the screen. I've given him some references, give him some scripture. There's a beautiful pew Bible sitting right in front of you. It's brown, and it has a red ribbon hanging out of one end. I would encourage you to grab that thing. You'll have the same Bible I have. You'll be able to follow me perfectly. And if you find Proverbs chapter 4, I'm not going to move around much from there. So you won't have to be flipping. Just a couple short times, and you're going to be fine. But find that pew Bible and find Proverbs chapter 4. Follow me. Make sure I'm talking about what's in that book, not my own thoughts and philosophies. This is God's Word. This is God's Word to be lived out, to be obeyed, and to be followed. So Proverbs chapter 4. Let me read 15 verses, and we'll come back up to the top, and I will give you four points, 4 points. First two go very quickly. 1, 2, 3, 4. First two very quickly. Number three is the big load. That's the semi-truck. This is point number three. Point number four is wow, aha, oh, wow, really, whoa, I'll have to think about that. Okay, so that's where we're going today. Give you plenty of heads up. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Very apparent we're talking about fathers and children. Don't get hung up on that. Fathers, where it says fathers, fathers, fathers. Fathers were the heads of the home. It still should be. But I know there are not many fathers in homes today. But that's what the Bible says. That is what the Bible says. So we're going to do what the Bible says. But it'll also reference mothers. So just take this where it says fathers, just go fathers and mothers, okay? Fathers and mothers. Whatever your family shapes up looks like, that's you. When it says fathers, that's you. All right. So here we go. Verse 1. Hear, O sons, so that's children, youth, teenagers, whatever, a father's instruction. This is a father speaking. And be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her. She is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. It's God's word. It's God's word. So it's very apparent right off the get. This father, Solomon, is writing to his sons, and he is writing to our sons and the sons of Israel, and he is saying, when I was young, when my dad had me, that would be King David, this is what I learned, and I'm passing that on to you. So my first point here on Family Day is that the precepts of the Bible are good. The precepts of the Bible are good. See, so I've had Mark do that like Toys R Us, because this is Family Day, this is kids. Precepts are good. You can figure that out. Precepts are good. Now, precepts just mean teaching. It's the teaching of the Bible. It's the teaching of God. It's the learning. We're learning about God. We're learning about raising kids, what the Bible says. And he says very clearly here, I give you good precepts. Good precepts. So before we go any farther with this teaching, I could ask you, do you believe that? Let's just start right there. Do you believe that? This is God's word in the teaching about kids, about youth, about adult, grown kids. This is a good teaching. This is still for us today. Hey, me and my family, as for us, we serve the Lord. This is still good. It's not outdated. This is good teaching. Do you believe that? That's where we got to start. That's where we got to start. Word of God. This is good. Let's camp on it. Let's go for it. Here we go. If that's true, what's he say? Start teaching your kids early. Start teaching your kids early. See what he said? When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me. Solomon, David, his father, had Solomon. And he says, when I was the only one in the sight of my mother, my brothers and sisters hadn't even been born yet. And my mama looked down on me. I was tender. I was kind of young and really vulnerable and really obedient at that point. I was really weak and I needed them. When I was the only one, my dad started teaching me. That's when you start. You start early. If this is the Word of God, now it doesn't say, my mom and daddy had me in church from the time I was this big. He said, no, my dad started teaching me. My mom started teaching me. When I was nobody else in the house, and I was old enough to learn, they started telling me about God and about the wisdom and the skill of living out this life with God's Word. That's what he says. So that's my second thing. Ask yourself, this is good? It's good. Start early. Start teaching early. Now, Passion 2018 just happened in Atlanta, and a young, cool pastor named Levi Lusco, who Terry and I like, he was just talking, and it caught my ear because he said, hey, I heard a proverb, and it's not one of these proverbs, just a proverb. He says, here's a good proverb. He was encouraging them in a different way. And he said, I heard a proverb. Proverb is something like this. Today is the second best day to plant a tree. Today is the second best day to plant a tree. That's a proverb. Pretty wise, huh? What's he mean? When's the best day to plant a tree? Well, whenever you thought was the best day to plant a tree and you missed it, today is the second best day to plant a tree. Today is the second best day to start teaching your kids. If you didn't plant the tree when they were tender and the only one on the side of their mother, today's the second best day to start. Start teaching your kids today. Dads and moms, homes, we'll support you, but this ain't enough. You start teaching your kids. If this is good, you start teaching them because today is the best day to do that if you haven't done it up so far. Pay it forward. Pay it forward. What's it say? When I was a son with my father, tender and the only one, he taught me. And now, sons, I'm teaching you. Now I'm paying this forward. That's not enough. That's not enough. Daddy taught me and mama taught me. Do it. Now you do it. You do what they did. Pay it forward. If you were blessed to have parents that brought you up in the Lord and taught you the skills of living this life with the teachings of the Lord, you are blessed. Now, don't stop. You've got to move this forward. That's what he says. My dad taught me. Now, sons, I'm teaching you. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. The teaching is good. If there is anything our kids need to know today, we think the teachings of God are good. This is still good. This is still the Word of God. They will hear it from us. They will see it in us. We have got to tell them. They have got to see it in our life. This is good. And I want to pass it on to you. Point number one, precepts are good. Point number two, precepts are life. The precepts are life. Now, obviously, this is not physical life because he's preaching to young boys, his son, whoever it is. He's not preaching that it's physical life. It's life. The precepts, the teachings of God, the skills of God, the wisdom of God to live this life as God wants us to live it. I'm teaching that to you, and it is life, but it's not physical life. What's he mean by that? Eternal life? Well, sure. But he means more than that. In this Proverbs, it's very practical. It's how to have skill to live God's teaching in life. So it's not just, and you listen, you and I cannot be satisfied with this. This is a huge mistake. If your child prayed a prayer when he was four, that's not enough. Stop. That's not enough. Your child should be that tree growing, 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 growing into the image of Christ. That prayer is not enough. Stop it. Stop playing the game. Stop being a fool. That prayer is not enough. That is not the next generation church. We cannot be satisfied with that prayer at 4 years old. The Bible is not. My son, I'm teaching you wisdom. I'm teaching you instruction. I'm giving you precepts to live by to be the next generation church. This Bible is not satisfied with that prayer. It's not satisfied with, well, I believe in God. That's not what this is about. That is never what this is about. I believe in God. The demons believe in God. It's not what this is about. The precepts, the teaching is life. It's life. What does that mean? Well, look down the page just a little bit. He gives us some ideas in verse 18 and 19. The path, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until it's full day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. That's what we want. We want to plant trees that grow and the light grows brighter and brighter and brighter until it's full day. There's growth. There's brightness. There's light happening. That's what we want to happen. That's what he's teaching. And the path of this young person who has found this wisdom, who has been taught about God, this person grows and the light gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness and they don't even know over what they're stumbling over. Their life, the path of their life is just getting darker and darker and they can't even tell you what they're stumbling over. They don't know that they're stumbling because it's getting darker and darker and darker. And that's the path of darkness. That's not life. That's darkness. The precepts are life. The precepts of what you and I will be satisfied with is when our youth and our kids and our young adults are growing brighter and brighter and brighter. That's the only thing I'm satisfied with. Did my daughters pray a prayer when they were little? Yeah. But I'm watching them. And I'm watching them get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And that's what I'm satisfied with. Where were they 10 years ago and where are they today? That's our gauge. That's the Bible's gauge. If they're not growing, they're getting darker, we need to be concerned. Because the path of life, the path of righteousness, it's like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until it's full day. It's life. He says it three times, so it must be important. In verse 4, he says, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. In verse 13, keep hold of my instruction. Do not let it go. Guard her. She is your life. In verse 22, he says, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. That verse right there should go on your refrigerator. The path of righteousness, the path of life, is healing. It's life to those, and it's healing to all your flesh. Listen, the path of a person that's righteous, that the bright light keeps getting brighter and brighter and brighter. It's a path of healing. So that when your teenager or your 12-year-old becomes 42 and they're on the path of life, of righteousness, of healing, do you know what this does for them? Instead of being 42 and being wounded and brokenhearted and carrying all this brokenness, the path heals. And they're not wounded at 40 from something that happened when they were 16 or 18. They're healed. They're not wounded warriors. They're not barely getting by. They're not trying to hold on and deal with all this baggage and hurt and all this stuff. They're on the path of healing. They're in the Word. They're being healed. They're not being injured anymore. There's too many young people, too many people, 20, 30, 40, still broken from what happened 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when I was 15, when I was 18. You've never been healed? Get on the path of righteousness. That's where we want our kids to be, healing and shining brighter, not dragging along what happened to me. Come on. Come on, hurt. Come on, brokenness. Come on, divorce. Come on, this. Come on. Whatever happened, why? The path of righteousness heals. It heals. That's what we want for our kids. That's what we want for our kids and for our youth. We've all got hurts. We've all got brokenness in our past. There isn't one of us here who doesn't have hurt or brokenness in our past. The question is, are you still dragging it with you? Is it still in the trunk of your car, or has it been healed? That's the path of righteousness. That's the path we want our kids on, right there. Precepts are life. Precepts are life. Point number three. This is the semi-truck. Get your pencil. The precepts are protection. Precepts are protection. The teaching of God, the teaching of wisdom, the skill, whatever you want to call it, the learning, the kids, the Bible for our kids, the teaching, it's protection. And there's not a parent in this room, there's not a grandparent in this room who doesn't want their kids, their grandkids, the kids of this church protected. We all want that. The precepts, this is protection. Now listen, there's three guards. There's three protections, three guardians here. You've got to see these guardians. You've got to see this. And the first one is for you kids. It is for you kids. It is for you youth. I'm going to start with you. I'm going to start with you, the sons and the daughters. Verse 13. You have a responsibility, youth, sons and daughters, of all ages in here, from Audrey and Zoe on up to Seneca, to Skylar, all of you. You have a responsibility, sons and daughters. Verse 13, keep hold of this instruction. Don't let it go. You guard her, for she's your life. If Mom and Dad are teaching you about Jesus, about the Bible. If Matt's teaching you about Jesus in the Bible, or Sharla, or your aunt, or your uncle, or somebody's trying to teach you the path, you guard her. You hold on to that. That's your responsibility. Guard it. She's your life. She's going to keep you out of a lot of trouble someday. She's going to keep you out of a lot of baggage someday. You have a responsibility to hold her, to guard her, to remember who you are, to remember her. In verse 5 it says, get wisdom and get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away. And there's two things we do when we get older. And the latest Pew Research poll just laid this out 2 years ago, and it said our kids get older and older and older, and they hit college age years, and they turn away. That's exactly what the Pew Research poll said. And so he says, don't forget and don't turn away. Young people, don't forget who you are. Mark's got a clip for us here. Mark's got a video clip for us. I want you to watch. But don't forget who you are. Don't forget this teaching. Don't turn away. And you will forget. You'll get so busy doing things. You'll get so busy pursuing your career or your loved one or what you feel like doing. You get so busy, you'll forget, and you'll have to come back. You'll get busy with things, and you'll just turn away. And you'll just go, man, I think I'm going to pursue this for a while. I'm going to pursue this career. I'm going to pursue this person. Go ahead, Mark, whenever you're ready. You're going to forget. You're going to turn away. Turn back. Turn back. You have a responsibility to turn back, to come back.
Oh, sure do. You Mufasa's boy. Bye. Hey, wait. You know my father?
Correction, I know your father.
I hate to tell you this, but he died a long time ago.
Nope, wrong again.
He's alive, and I'll show him to you. You follow old Rafiki, he knows the way. Come on.
Don't double! Hurry up!
Hey, whoa, wait, wait!
Come on! Come on!
Would you slow down?
Stop!
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
I go back. I'm not who I used to be.
Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king. Remember who you are.
No, please, don't leave me. Father.
Remember who you are. Don't forget. Don't turn away. Remember the precepts. They are from God. They are God's. He looked in that. He said, that's just me. And he said, no, look deeper. Look inside yourself. Do you have the Spirit of God in you? You are God's. Go back. Go back. If you've turned, if you've walked away from the faith, if you've forgotten, go back. Whose are you? Kids, I'm asking you at an early age, I'm asking you, whose are you? Are you God's? Then go back, don't forget, don't turn away. He always takes you back. He always takes you back. He always says, go back, go back. I live inside of you. You forgot me. He said, no, I didn't forget you. It's not what your life's saying. Go back. Go back. The Father implores you to go back. He'll take you back. Don't forget and don't turn away. Sons and daughters of God, Christian young people, remember who you are. Remember who you are. You are the body of Christ for the next generation. There's no time to play. Remember, this is your life. This is life. This will keep you. Parents, we can't just throw this big thing on the kid's lap all by herself, right? Parents. So there's three guards. The kids, you're going to guard your faith. You're going to guard your heart, it says in verse 23. Keep your heart. You're going to guard it. It's life and healing to you. Kids, guard your faith. Parents, guard them. Parents, guard your kids in the faith. Guard them. Now, what do I mean by that? We're going to borrow some wisdom of Solomon from Proverbs chapter 17. So this is one of those times, it's not a bad thing. You got to move from Proverbs 4 to Proverbs 17. That's not hard. That's not far. Proverbs 17. I'm going to speak a little bit from the heart here. I'm going to read some verses from you, and then I'm going to tell you what's on my mind, and it's right here, and I'm going to show it to you. Proverbs 17, verse 6. Now notice this. This is dear to me. This hits me close, right? Proverbs 17, verse 6. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged. That's me. There's my crowns. There's my crowns. I look at them and sometimes I just watch from a distance and I'm just so swelled up, and those are my crowns. I go, those are my grandkids. And they're in church. They're in church, man. That's beautiful, isn't it? Debbie, is it beautiful? Is this beautiful? She's your crown. But, and the glory of children is not their grandparents. The glory of children is their fathers and their mothers, their parents. The glory of grandparents, we look down and we smile at our grandkids. The glory of children are their parents. You're the apple of their eye. We always say the children are the apple of our eye. Let me tell you, parents, you're the apple of your children's eyes. If you're their parent in some way, whatever your home looks like, your parent, the parent of that home, is the apple of the children's eye. They look up to you. You're the glory of them. Guard that. Guard that. Notice what it says. Verse 7. Fine speech is not becoming to a fool, but still less is false speech to a prince. A bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of the one who gives it, and wherever he turns, he prospers. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Chapter 16, verse 28. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates, again, close friends. So, I'm going to say that in God's providence, these are put here for a reason. They're not just random. Grandchildren are the crown of the age, and the glory of these kids, parents, are you. Whoever the parental person is in your home, they're looking at you. They're looking up to you. You're the model. You're the glory. And fine speech doesn't become a fool, but still less false speech to a prince is even worse. So where am I going with these proverbs? Watch your mouth in front of your kids. That's where I'm going. Watch what you say in front of your kids. Watch your mouth. Have you ever laugh inside. Have you ever talked to somebody who's not very educated, they're kind of a fool, and they're trying to use these big long words and sound very educated and very white collar? And you're just talking to them and they're going, and they're trying to use and phrase these, and you're just going, oh my gosh, please stop. It's ridiculous, right? Still more ridiculous is false speech, lying, when it comes from the mouth of a prince or a parent. If you're the glory, your speech had better not be false. Your speech had better be true. Your speech had better be straight up. Because it's even more ridiculous than a fool trying to use big words and sound educated. It's horrible. Do not ever lie to your kids. And if you do, you just be right back honest with them and you say, man, I didn't quite give you that totally straight. Talk truthfully to your kids. Now, hold it. That doesn't mean you tell them everything. You got to use some discretion, some maturity, right? Talk true speech. If you lie to your kids, if you're trying to pull the wool over their eyes, if you're telling them you're a Christian, God's word is so important, it's the most thing, and then they watch you, you just lied to them if you're not living it out, and they go, right. And that's even more ridiculous than an idiot trying to sound like an intellectual. And it don't work. And you want to guard their faith. You know what they do? They throw the faith out the back door. You watch your mouth to your kids. You talk truthfully to them. Now look, you don't got to be perfect. Just be consistent. None of us are perfect. Be consistent. Be honest. Whether you're right or wrong, be honest. I was wrong, son. I was wrong, daughter. I'm sorry. I was wrong about that. Hey, I was right about that. I told you that, right? Did you see where I got that from? The Bible. Impress them. They're watching your life and they're listening to your mouth, and you better speak honestly to them. If you're telling them you're a Christian and this is the Word of God and there's nothing more important than your God, you better live that out or you're lying to them. Don't you lie to your kids. It's ridiculous. Verse 8, a bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers. Hey, parent, let me ask you a question. What's your magic stone? What's your magic stone? You being honest? You parenting by the word of God? You being straight up? Or do you whip out a bribe once in a while and go, hey, if you behave, I'll give you your iPad. Hey, if you behave today, if you do this, I'll take you here. Oh, come on now, come on now. If you behave, I'll take you to the mall and we'll go shopping. What's your magic stone? What's your bribe? That's all that is a bribe. You're not parenting, you're bribing. Doesn't work. Bible says it doesn't work. It says it looks like he prospers in whatever he does, but you know and I know he doesn't prosper. That's not parenting. That's called a bribe. And we're not magicians. We're parents. Don't bribe your kids. Put your magic stones away and teach them and lead them in the Word of God. Teach them the skill of living life according to the will of God. Teach them this. Put the stones away. Stop bribing them. They know. They work you. They manipulate you. They've got you in the palm of their hand. You've already lied to them and told them, yeah, be a Christian. That's the way to go. And you don't live it. And now they're acting up and you whip out a bribe and go, hey, come on, man. I'll do this. And let's just dig that hole a little deeper. Because we're not teaching them the skill of living God's word in this life. Verse 9 may be the most important and the most abused that I see day in and day out, wherever I go. Whoever covers an offense seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates close friends. It's very similar to chapter 16:28. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. So you're talking on the way home from church to your somebody else, your spouse or whoever's in the car with you, and the kids are sitting there listening to you spread strife about somebody back there at church. You're walking through the grocery store, what I hear a lot, and I'm walking through the grocery store, and there are the kids with mom or dad, and they're just having this adult conversation about such and such at work, who's, well, she's sleeping with him, well, she's doing that, well, he's doing that, and the kids are right there listening to all of the strife that they're spreading. And it says they separate close friends. A whisper, a gossip, somebody who can't stay off the phone, who's got to tell, who's got to share. You separate close friends, and your kids are watching. Your kids are listening. You're being divisive. You're hurting relationships, and your kids are learning very well. Thank you very much. The parents are having trouble. The parents are fighting, and the kids are there, and the parents are airing it out in front of the kids, and the kids are learning. Oh, you're teaching. Stop it. It says, whoever covers an offense seeks love. Seeks love. Do you know what that means? Something went on down at church, and you don't got to talk about it. You're going to forgive it if you need to, and you're going to just help them put it to rest to resolve this issue. You're not going to air it out and talk all the possibilities with your kids sitting there in the car or in the living room floor with you. Shut your mouth. Your kids are learning. Stop it. And then you wonder. Well, I'm just telling them the truth. They've got to know what real life is all about. That's your philosophy. I'm teaching you the Bible philosophy. You pick which one you want. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. It says shut up in front of your kids. Stop talking the stuff in front of your kids. Start teaching. Teaching them the good commandments. Stop talking the junk. More than one family and parent has gone down the tubes because they've told their kids how important church is, and then they've watched them live anything but that. They've watched them go out on Friday night and come home barely getting in the front door. They've watched them sleeping around with others. They've watched them watching movies, doing things that's not Christian. Kids know. They've watched them not live what they've been trying to tell them. It's false speech. They've been bribed in the process, and then they hear mom and dad just airing out whatever they want in front of them all the time, and they're going, that's divisive, that's hurtful, that's not. And then we wonder, why are my kids acting the way? I better go get them some medicine. Really? Parents, protect your kids. Spiritually, protect the wisdom, protect the faith, protect, see what you're building into them. Maybe it's harmless to you. Maybe you think, well, I didn't know that hurt. Now you do. Now you do. Whoever covers an offense seeks love. Teach them love. If they hear something, if they've caught wind of it somewhere, you'd cover it with love. You get the Word of God out and you show them what it's like to forgive that and how it is to heal that and what grace looks like. You don't throw that person under the bus. You don't air it out. Guard your mouth. Guard your kids. Parents, be consistent, not perfect. Be honest whether you're right or wrong, and be forgiving, discreet, not divisive. Seek love speech, helpful speech, healthy speech. Chapter 4, verse 6, if we can get this wisdom to our kids, says, do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. If you can get this wisdom to your kids, this skill to our kids, if we can just get them started, if we can just get them going down the right path a little bit, it will guard her. It will guard him. Your kids are going to get older, like the Pew Research says, and they're going to go off to college and be taught all kinds of things. They're going to go to work and be told all kinds of things. They're going to go to the supermarket, to the school. They're going to go somewhere, and they're going to be told all kinds of things. And when you're not around, if you can get this skill to them, get them started, it will guard them when you're not there. It will guard them in college. It will guard them at the workplace. It will guard them. Kids, you guard it. You guard wisdom. You guard your heart. You guard your faith. You guard it. Parents, you guard them by watching your mouth. Number one, there's a lot of others, but you guard them, and she will guard your kids when they leave home, wherever they go. She, beautiful wisdom, will guard them for you. Isn't that what you want? It is. Proverbs, man, what a book, huh? It's amazing. It's amazing. Point three, precepts are protection. They're guardians. Point four, my final point. Precepts are love. The precepts of God, the teachings about God, the commandments, the laws, these things, what I'm telling you to learn and do and teach, they are love. They are love. The laws are love. The commandments are love. This is love. Did you notice what this says in verse 6? Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. It didn't say obey. Why didn't it say obey? Why didn't it say put a whole list of rules up on your refrigerator? These are the rules of God. It said, love her. Oh, wait a minute. Let's not stop. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Listen, prize her. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. That really sounds like a relationship type thing there. You love her and you, I know what to embrace my wife means. I embrace her and I love her and I prize her highly. I know what he's saying here. That's what we're to do with the commandments and the laws, and they will guard us. They are our life. They will keep us. These are commandments of love. Now, you've always asked yourself this. If I'm supposed to love God, how do you love God? The precepts. You follow the precepts. You read and learn and get, and you develop the skill of living His precepts in life. You begin to love them, to go, whoa, this works. This is amazing. Wow, that came back to me and it helped me. Monday, I was walking into work, dark 30. The sidewalk had melted. And there was a downspout with water had run during the day, but at night it froze. And so I'm walking up, and I hit that first step like this, and my feet just entirely go out. I face plant right on the sidewalk, but my thermos is in my hand, and I clutch it right here, and I land flush on it, face plant. Boom. I thought I was shot, man. I thought I got shot. It hurt so bad, my head was spinning. I laid there. I had to get my head together. I was like, oh my gosh, what just happened? It was that quick. It was that sort of thing. It still hurts. I'm not sledding today. If you love wisdom, if you have a little wisdom, you love her and you embrace her. Kids, when you walk out into this world, you're going to hit patches of ice. You don't think it's coming. It's the farthest thing from your mind. You've got your warm thermos of coffee. You're going into work. You're going to sit down, get your paperwork. Life is going on. What a great day this is going to be. Boom. That's how it works. And wisdom is going to keep you. Wisdom is going to guard you if you love her, if you embrace her, and you're going to go, you know what I said? Thank you, God, I wasn't hurt. Thank you, God, I didn't hit my head. Thank you, God, I didn't break anything. Thank you, God, it was just some hurt ribs. Prize her. Love her. Walk with her. Develop the skill to live this out. And do you know what's going to happen when you go around that ice and you go, oh my gosh, I could have slipped and killed him. Thank you, God, you love God. Because His precepts and His skills of living begin to show up in your life. And you begin to go, oh, my friends, they got into that. I didn't. For some reason, I just went this way and I went around it and I didn't go down that. And that's exactly what this says. It says, but the path of the wicked is like deep darkness. Don't go there. Don't go down this path. Stay away from it. Verse 15, avoid it. Don't go on it. Turn away. Pass on by. And you're going to do that. And you're going to see that darkness of people around you. And you're going to go, oh, God, thank you so much. And you're going to love Him. He's going to keep you. He's going to guard you. You're going to prosper. You're going to grow. Your light's going to shine brighter and brighter. And as you look around, you see all those people stumbling in darkness. You're just going to love God more and more. And people aren't going to ask you, how do I love a God I can't see? Because I'm walking in His skills and He's there. And this is amazing. And I've avoided so much trouble and I've prospered. I'm going to live a long life. And we love Him. We love God. Although we can't see Him, we love Him. And we've developed His skills. And we walk with Him. It's just that simple. It's not easy, it's simple. That's what we want. These commandments are commandments of love. Precepts are love. I'm afraid. I'm sorry for many, many of the modern day church movement who has moved their body of believers away from the commandments of God because they've moved them away from the love of God. I'm sorry for many good churches with some good people in there who have moved away from, we don't Old Testament anymore because that's the law and that's the commandments and we don't do that anymore. You've moved away from the love of God. You're teaching them away from the precepts that are good. You're saying the precepts are no good. The love of God, and we're supposed to love her and embrace her. And we're saying, no, those aren't for today. We're moving away from the love of God. And we wonder why our churches look the way they do. Matt told that story about some church or something that doesn't use the name of Jesus. And I just listened to a message from Passion 2018. Priscilla Shirer said she was invited to a church, a seeker-sensitive, pre-seeker-sensitive church to speak. And they said, now look. We don't really use the name Jesus. We don't really use the specifics of this. This is a seeker-sensitive, pre-seeker-sensitive church, and we just want to get them in here. We don't do that. We don't talk that. And if you've ever heard Priscilla Shire, that's Tony Evans' daughter, she said, you got the wrong person here, buddy. I'm not going there. We're not doing that. I'm so afraid that as the modern contemporary church movement goes and we're trying to push away all that stuff, we're pushing away the love of God. We're not teaching our kids the skill of living with Him. And then going, thank you, God. Oh, I love you for that. Oh, man, your word, why did that scripture pop back into my head and I went this way instead of this way? And oh, my gosh, thank you so much. I love you, God. We're not teaching them the love of God when we throw this out. When we say, this book is too old, you can't teach your kids today this. Down there at the courthouse, they say, you can't use this anymore. I'll be like Peter and Paul and say, look, I can't help it. I can't do anything but talk about God. That's all I'm going to do. That's the only way I'm going to raise my kids. And they may not like me today. They might not like me tomorrow. But by golly, down the road, when these come back and start guarding them, they're going to look back and say, man, Dad, thank you for that. So what do I say to you, parents? Second best day to plant a tree is today. Get back on it. Get back at it. Wherever you're at, get at it. Your kids are grown and left the house, that's fine. You get back on it. You teach yourself skills and wisdom. They're still watching you. Second best day to plant a tree is today. Sons and daughters, kids, man, remember whose you are. Remember your Father in heaven. You're His. You're the body of Christ. You are Christ's body for tomorrow. 110 years, this planet's empty, and you're in charge. All us old people are gone. There's a whole new population on this planet in 110 years. So the next 40 or 50, I'll be gone. I'll be gone in 20 or 30. Skyler, you may be president of the United States. I don't know. Are you ready? Are you ready? Remember who you are. You are Jesus Christ on this earth. Let your light grow brighter and brighter. That's the only thing I'm satisfied with. She will guard you. Children, adults, learn the skill of living God's Word. It's good. She will guard you. She'll keep you away from the ice you can't see. She will hold you. Embrace her. Love her. Love God. Precepts are love. Bible's a book of love. Matthew 22 says this. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, what's the greatest, what's that word? Commandment in the law. And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the great and the first, what? Commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these, the two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. All the law and the prophets and the commandments, they're love. They're showing you how to love God and love your neighbor. You want to leave them? We're not an Old Testament. We don't do that anymore. The law's old. It's done. It's extinct. It's out of here. That's not what Jesus said. You're crazy if you think you are. You're crazy if you think you can leave that Bible behind. You're crazy if you're not picking it up regularly. You're crazy. You think this is archaic, judgmental. You're going to raise your kids without it. Teach them love. It's love. It's wisdom. And it's good. And it will guard your kids. It will guard you. It will guard you.